All right, go ahead, talk. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com. Welcome to a brand new episode of Word Bros.
Season 2.
Season 2, Episode 3. James Maddox, a good friend of ours. He runs a fantastic con in Huntington, West Virginia called TriCon. It's probably one of the better one-day shows out there. If you live in the Midwest, if you're within like a four-hour drive of Huntington, West Virginia, get a table, go out there and enjoy yourself. It's a wonderful time. Get yourself a biscuit from Biscuit World because it's fucking great. Even though I gotta say, last time I got a biscuit
from Biscuit World, it was not as great.
I don't know if the chicken was cooked enough. Like, cause you know how some of the biscuits are real thick, like the meat, like the chicken biscuit.
Yeah,
it just didn't taste.
It wasn't enough. Yummy, right?
It wasn't cooked enough, so I tossed it.
See, my thing with Biscuit World is if I'm going to a place called Biscuit World, I'm getting fucking biscuits and gravy. That's just my deal. And that's what I got the first time we went to Biscuit World. Now, last year at Huntington, I did not have any biscuits whatsoever. So.
Oh, that's right, because you were on your weird diet thing.
Yeah.
But I saw you guys when I was leaving Biscuit World pulling in. You didn't get anything?
I got a scrambled eggs and bacon.
How was that?
It was just scrambled eggs and bacon.
Yeah, you can't really fuck up scrambled eggs.
I mean, it wasn't awful, but I was like, you know, typical fast food restaurant scrambled eggs and bacon.
Okay.
Because I couldn't have any biscuits. So I was like, I'm not even going to do it. And Drew was like, really? You're not going to have a bit? I was like, nah, I'm good. And he was like, dang, you're really sticking to it. I was like, yeah, because there's no way I'm going to get results if I keep on just like having crap here and there. So.
Yeah, I know. I agree, man. I agree. And I got to say, Biscuit World for me, I'm 1 for 3. But I think the first time I shot myself, and actually, you know what? I'm 2 for 4 because I had a really good time with you when we went. My mom and I had great fucking chicken biscuits. And then one time I got just a sausage biscuit that was kind of shitty. And then last time my chicken biscuit wasn't cooked enough. It might have been cooked enough, but I'm really weird with chicken. I don't even know why I eat it. Like, I'm afraid to touch it like it's fucking nuclear waste. Like, I'm going to get salmonella just by looking at it the wrong way. And so every time I make chicken, like, I'm constantly washing my hands like I'm in the Indomitus strain. Like, I'm fucking taking this first layer of skin off my hand so I don't get this terrible disease.
You just need a suit, like a Dustin Hoffman suit. Like, in that movie. What was that movie?
Sophia.
No, like not that one. The other Dustin Hoffman movie where they were like with a monkey and they had the suits and
isn't that Sphere? Isn't
outbreak,
that
outbreak,
outbreak, outbreak, outbreak. There you go.
So that's what you need. You need one of those like contaminant biohazard suits.
Yeah, I get really weird when I get around chicken for some reason. Like I just instantly think I'm gonna die. Like I don't know what it is.
That's but
like
crazy. You're a warrior though, so I get it. That makes sense.
I am.
You're a worrier, so I get it. Because I don't worry about anything, and you're the actual opposite. Like, you worry about everything, and I don't worry about anything. Yeah. That's why you're always like, where's Kevin? It's this time in the morning. And it's like, he should be back here by now. And that sucks, because I forget that you're a worrier.
I mean, that's what I am. I learned it from my mom. Like, she would always worry about me. As a matter of fact, today, my wife's way home from work. Like, I asked her to go to the grocery store to pick something up for me. And she left work at 4:30. It was kind of rainy and crappy here. I called her and I was like, where are you? It's like 5:45. I was like, where are you? She's like, I'm not home yet. I was like, why? You should be here. Like, I was worried sick about you. I thought something terrible happened. But she was fine. I just worry. I worry. I come from a long line of worriers.
You do. So. Well, without further ado,
yes.
We're worried about James Maddox's Kickstarter because it kicks ass. So we're worried that it could kick your ass.
And you know what? It just might. It could. Maddox is alive. Look at you.
And he's serenading us. He has come to serenade us.
Now, is this your first interview post accident?
No, I did one.
Bitch.
I know. Sorry, man.
I thought we would get the exclusive.
You're gonna get the Barbara Walters shit, okay? I'm not opening it up to just anybody.
So James Maddox, I'm recording already. You have a Kickstarter going right now with Gavin Smith.
What?
Yes.
That's news.
I saw Gavin at Cincy Comic Expo and you weren't there and I was sad because Gavin is far less enjoyable when you're not around.
Is it because Gavin does hate your Tom Waits When Doves Cry? Is that why he was
less? I don't know. I'm just saying Gavin is more charming with James around because I love James. And it's just because James Maddox is so charming.
It's because James Maddox, a little bit of Maddox makes everything better.
It does. And I'm really happy that you're alive.
I mean, I'm having my good days and my bad days about it. You know, it's some days it's like, yeah, this is great. And then other days I'm like, man, you know.
Death, sweet release, come for me.
See, I knew you'd get it. There's some people I can joke with that, and they're cool, and they get like that kind of dark sense of humor. There are other people that are just like, don't say that.
Probably your wife, I bet, is one of the people that are like, don't say that.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, James, you've got this Kickstarter going right now. It is called Dead Legends. It's on Kickstarter. We're recording this. There's 12 days out. I believe when we put this thing out, there'll be like 7 days out. Tell us all about the Kung Fu madness that is Dead Legend.
All right. So, Gavin and I had been working on a horror pitch, and it kind of fell through. And we were talking at Derby City Comic Con, of all places. Because that's where the cool things happen.
That's where the action happens, boys and girls.
It's the hotness.
You think it's San Diego or NYCC, Nelson, Derby City?
No. I don't think Derby City is a thing anymore. So anyway, so I ask him, you know, at first I say, I'm sorry that, you know, all the things went down. Can I cuss on this podcast?
Of course you can.
I just
you know who the fuck we are, James.
Yeah, I know. I always want to ask that question on the air so I can make sure that I get it in writing, kind of thing. Anyway, yeah,
you got it.
Hey, I'm sorry all this shit went down.
I've never been more offended, James Maddox.
We're like, gonna censor your curse words with the Batwang.
Oh, sweet, nice, awesome.
Okay,
but I asked him. I was like, if you could illustrate anything, what would you want to illustrate? And he brought up the idea of doing a martial arts throwback in the style of like Enter the Dragon, Bloodsport, that kind of thing, where the fourth issue of the 5-issue run would be just enough said, straight up fight scene. Right?
So wait a minute. So this is a, what, 4-act, 5-issue graphic novel, and the fourth issue is just all fighting?
Yep.
That's awesome. That's like 20 pages of fighting.
Yes, we want it to be brutal. There's going to be like a few little plot points I throw in, but there's no dialogue.
Really?
Know? Yeah. So he gave me a few of the characters that he was hoping to kind of toss into the mix. I came up with a story that we were both happy with and just ran with it.
That's awesome. And
I wrote the first issue to perfection, you know, and I handed it over to Gavin. And when he illustrated it and sent it back to me, I realized that the fight scene that I had written was not there. Gavin just like went off and took off and did his own thing because he knows what a fight scene is supposed to look like, you know. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So that was my first, like, I don't know, that's when it dawned on me that I had found like a collaborator, you know, somebody that would take the reins and make it better, you know, someone I could trust to get the job done. And you know, it's from there we've added, you know, Farrier and Marissa and Sheila and created this team. I mean, it's an Ocean's 11 kind of situation we got going on here, you know.
Okay, so Marissa Luis is doing colors, and Ryan Farrier is doing letters, and Sheila
Valari
is editing.
Editing, yeah.
That is like a that's a dirty dozen of.
You've got a superstar crew, son.
Yeah, so you're like LeBron James and the Miami Heat over there. That's amazing.
So yeah, we put together a really great crew. Everybody is hopefully, you know, going to be able to give them the chance to do their thing. You know, Kickstarters are weird because you never know. You know?
No, you're right. We have no idea what you're talking about.
What are you talking about? We don't know.
We know nothing about what you're talking about.
We know nothing about asking for $25,000 and talking about it every day, every second for 30 straight days. I have no idea what you're talking about.
We never did that.
It was funny because, and I'm going to get real with you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Before the wreck, I was like, oh my God, the Kickstarter. What if we don't hit goal? I'm freaking out. And then after the wreck, I was like, okay, well, things will continue to happen. You know, like what's the worst that could happen?
Now, for those of you that don't know what James is speaking about, what, maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
It was just over a month at this point.
Just over a month ago, James was in a horrific.
It was exciting. It was life altering.
Okay.
So, yeah, we hydroplaned on the interstate. We rolled the car twice and landed on like upside down. And for you sensitive people out there, I will refrain from going into too much detail. But my wife got out just fine. My friend in the back seat got out with kind of a black eye. And then, you know, some scrapes up along his back. And then I got out with a degloved forehead.
Now, what does that mean, a degloved forehead?
That means the sunroof burst open and at some point sliced my forehead across the top.
Whoa!
And then as my head was out of the sunroof, the asphalt peeled me back.
Oh, holy smokes. Oh.
Sorry, I said I wasn't going to go into detail.
No, that's crazy. I mean, you almost got fucking like Cliff Burton, bro.
Yeah,
like,
it was I saw the last doctor visit to do my checkups. I went and they took pictures of me on the operating table. And like, it was me laying down, tube down my throat, my skull exposed, like dirt and glass and grime and shit, like just everywhere. And I'm like, that's not me. Why did you do like the horror movie magic on me while I was knocked out and on the operating table? That's not me.
Right? Why are you showing me pictures of the John F. Kennedy?
But yeah, so yeah, after you get through something like that, like the challenges of a Kickstarter get dulled down just a little bit.
Small potatoes, right?
Yeah, it's not, because it was important to me after talking with friends, and because I had canceled everything. Like I was out of the game. I wasn't going to any more cons. Like basically my year was done. I was just going to stay at home and be mopey and play video games all the time.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, it's not really too far from my usual routine. But after talking with some friends and, you know, support from everybody in the comics community came flooding in online. People were sending me shit. Like it was very heartening, you know, like you got to see, like, there's a lot of bad shit that happens on comics Twitter and comics Facebook and all that. But to see as many people come out and be like, we're pulling for you. We got your back. You know, we hope you get better in every way imaginable. Yeah. That's why we're in comics. That's why I'm on comics Twitter. That's why I interact with this entire business, is because the people that are great are really, really great, you know?
Uh-huh. But think about this though. Think about how dying would have really shot your career through the
world. Oh yeah, no, we would have made tons of sense.
Yeah, like if Gavin would have went on the sob story and be like, James is dead. Our Kickstarter needs $1 million.
I would have had some eBay shit happen. I'm a little upset about this now that you mentioned it this way, Bob, because like I have clown and it's autographed.
Oh yeah.
And that would have been
no, what I'm saying
it
is
it was funny though when we wrecked, I got out of the wreck and I felt and I saw the blood and all the things, bad things happening. And I go sit on the side of the road and you know, Mary's coming up to me and she's like, you know, you're gonna be fine. I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna be fine, but listen, here's where my notes for all of my series are. make sure Becca gets a hold of them. Have Becca and Dave finish out, you know, metaphorical her. Like, I was in business mode even then. So.
That's good. That's, you know why? It's because you're pro. That's because you're a pro, dude.
You're pro as fuck, James.
Now, you're talking also now because you do have a Kickstarter, Dead Legends, with Gavin, but you're also doing a comic on Webtoons, yes?
Yeah.
Online Webtoons.
Tell us about that one.
Well, Webtoon has given me and David Stoll and Stella Dia and Justin Birch kind of the opportunity to do a story that I'm really excited about. So Becca Caden and I have been working on this story for a while, and we finally just, got a lot of momentum going. It's about poetry and ambition and just like visual metaphors. It's the thing that I've always wanted to write, and the fact that Webtoon has given me the ability to do it, I'm just super stoked. And it really sucked that we were supposed to come out on August 17th, and then the wreck happened on August 13th. And so that pushed back the launch. So right now we're still waiting to see when we're going to actually launch this thing.
Okay.
But when I know, you'll know.
Okay, good. What I'm saying too, James, is don't be afraid to play the pity card. Be like, look, I almost died. Help my Kickstarter out, bro. I mean, do that shit, son. You're a fool not to.
I mean, I know. I'm sure that I'm making myself suffer.
Hey, James, if I can drink hot sauce for like
you can
15 days straight.
I can exploit the
near-death experience.
And then complain about my gastrointestinal problems, then you can definitely complain.
Exploit your near-death experience to your full maximum profitability, friend.
Yeah, well, like I said, the more important goal for all of this was to get back in the mix, is to do cons. Like, I've been to Rose City, I went to Keystone, I'm going to New York. You know, we're doing the Kickstarter, like nothing ends, nothing stops. Like
amazing, by the way. I'm gonna say, like, that's super respectable. Like, I understand that your other stance was like, hey, I'm gonna be bummed, I'm gonna play video games.
Right.
But how do you
but then you're like, fuck
it. It was more self-preservation than anything. Right. Sure.
It's crazy to me that your brain was either like all or nothing. Like, that's like, how did all defeat nothing in this internal struggle that is James Maddox live on Word Bros?
I mean, I like to think that I push myself a little bit, maybe a little too hard from time to time. So, but I'm an extremist. I do the thing all the way or I don't do it at all. So, yeah. Whatever that's worth, I don't know.
Now, James Maddox is also a Renaissance man that we forget to mention. James Maddox helps run a con out of West Virginia, at Huntington, West Virginia, called one of Bobby's favorite cons and one of my favorite cons, TriCon, out of West Virginia. He's in a band.
Yeah.
He writes comics. What can James Maddox not do? That's my question. I mean, obviously, he cannot take a hit from nunchucks. That's one thing.
That was so funny. We did that video, and Gavin was, like, tapping me on the head with him. I was like, dude, hit me, all right? Just rear back, hit me as hard as you can. I'll tell you if it's too much. But, yeah, we do.
He does his own stunts, too.
I do my own stunts. That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we do TriCon West Virginia and Huntington, West Virginia. It's me and Eric Watkins that put that on. I'm in the band Quiet, which is spelled Q-I-E-T. It's a four-letter word.
Yes. I tell everybody in the Midwest that'll listen that you run one of the best shows around. It's a perfect one-day show. You're in, you're out. Huntington, West Virginia is a wonderful town that's hungry for comics. I feel like people save money all year for this show.
Yeah.
Like they just bring it all to shoot their wad, and it's a great time, man. Like it's a wonderful town.
Well, thank you. We like to think that we bring out the comic crowds in Huntington for sure. And we've had a lot of people tell us indeed that they do save up just to come to the show and spend it on not just like to spend it on, you know, media people or, you know, classic comics, but on indie comics specifically.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
I had some of my best days at your show. Like, it's amazing. Like, it's such a wonderful time. And then if you're cool enough, which luckily Kevin and myself somehow are
you going to let out the cat out of the bag here?
Is no. Not at all. I don't even know what you're talking about. There's a Five Guys right up the street that closed. And I don't know how that happens. I don't know how a Five Guys closes anywhere. But it's a wonderful time, and it's a great show, and I really love it. And you know, when I say this, I really mean it. Super glad you're alive.
I'm super glad he's alive. Plus, we have to tell him like about what happened, because he was so busy that day we didn't get a chance to speak to him again. I didn't get a chance to see him again until, what was it, Tidewater? Like a few months ago.
Yeah.
And that was before.
Yeah, before.
That was before TriCon. So at TriCon, we brought – Bobby got the ash cans really fast for Metal Shark Bro. Mm-hmm. So he had them. He brought a few to TriCon, and we were like just bringing it to try it out. And people were going like apeshit over that. So it was kind of like crazy. And that's where we were like, is this really a thing? Are people really freaking out like this over this 7 pages? And that's where we had the first conversation about this might be a thing.
That's
like,
awesome.
We didn't know for sure, but it was at your show.
I love that kind of stuff. Like there have been a few instances where comics have been created, or a movement, you know, between people has been made. That is a high percentage of why we do that show, is just to hear the stories of, oh yeah, I met this creator here and now we're doing a book, or, you know, yeah, we had this thing, we decided to go all in on it. So I'm glad. That's fantastic.
It's such a wonderful time, and I'm rooting for you so hard on this book, because if it's one thing that I love more than comics, it's martial arts. And like, so so what you did was you went to Gavin, you and Gavin have been working together for quite some time, but this was early on in your relationship, and you were like, hey man, like, what do you want to draw? Like, that's how you approached Gavin?
Well, we had been friends at that point for a couple of years. So we just enjoyed hanging out together. We knew at some point we were going to work together. We just didn't know what it was going to be on. And then, you know, the opportunity for us to focus on something that was ours came about. And Gavin knew that I would go out there and hustle my butt off. He knew that I would write a good story, I hope. he knew basically my strong points were there, and I knew that his strong points were there. And it's been nuts, because to work with Gavin is interesting, because like I thought I hustled. I thought that I went out there and did the promo thing. Gavin has been like punch for punch with me. So it's been very strange to have a collaborator that also gets out there and puts himself behind the microphone, or hits as many cons as he does. Oh my God. Like I thought I did cons, but that dude does cons like crazy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an interesting thing to go in on a project with someone that is basically like your mirror image, where I'm on the writing side and he's on the illustration side, you know? Mm-hmm. And we like laugh at the same jokes. It was just a match made in heaven, really.
Now when are you guys getting married? When's the big day?
Yeah,
does Mary know?
He's actually getting married in November. So
are you going to have a fucking Dustin Hoffman, Mrs. Robinson moment where you show up and be like, no.
Does anyone object to this union?
Yes. Well, that's great, man.
That's
and like,
great.
And it's the cool thing. And I'm sorry to kind of keep harping on this, but
tarp away
right now with Dead Legends and with Metaphorical Her, like I'm working with my best friends from everything from illustration to editorial. Like everything is going, you know, the way that I really wanted it to. And I never thought I'd have the opportunity to make it go this way, but to make comics with your friends is, it's special. It's just special. It's the thing that you always hope you get to do. And, you know, sometimes you try to get into a project with somebody and you kind of, you know, feel out the positives and the negatives, but going into both of these, I was like, I know what they are. I know what we can push. I know that we're going to have stellar product and hopefully make a dent in the whole thing.
Now, how do you balance friendship and a professional relationship? I mean, you just said like Gavin's like a brother to you. You love the guy. So yeah. Like, how do you, if you have a problem with something that's on the page or he has something vice versa, how does that relationship work? How's that dynamic?
Well, I think that that's, again, the positive is because I know that I don't have to sugarcoat, you know, like mm-hmm. I can just go up and say, hey, there's a problem here. I'm not saying that I know the answer to it, but I know that there's a problem here. Let's examine this a little bit. And then we'll go back over and, you know, we'll figure out what's what. But so far, you know, our tastes run all in the same. So when Dave turns over thumbnails or roughs for Metaphorical, he's blowing my mind every time. He just turned in some yesterday that were absolutely insane. There were some like panel work that incorporated gutters that it's amazing to know that you're working with somebody that has a caliber of talent that, you know, you just didn't expect, or maybe you should have expected, for some reason you didn't, to be surprised like that by people that you can honestly look at and be like, listen, you know, I wouldn't bullshit you. This was awesome.
Now, for some people that may not know, it's webtoons.com is the website. It's called Line Webtoons. You're basically, this is a webcomic that scrolls down. So like as you scroll right. your page down, you're telling the story. So how is it like writing every page is a page turn? Like how yeah. does that work out? Like, because as I was reading it, because I've read Walt's, I've seen yours right. because you showed me a preview, I've read other ones on the site, as a writer I'm thinking like, what the fuck, like this has got to be one of the most challenging things out there, because you're writing every page is a page turn moment.
Yeah, you don't do odds anymore, everything is
yeah, it's like page turn, page turn, page turn, page turn, page turn. It's like, how does that work out?
I love writing in vertical format. I don't know. It's definitely a different thing to get your mind around, but once you get it, like it's pretty solid. And as far as the page by page, like I'm really happy to do page by page, but it's a different animal completely. So to kind of like understand or compare the two, it's really not possible for me to do.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it is, but it would just sound lame, you know, cause I'd be like, oh, well you have to do the pacing right. And, words,
but you don't say words.
But my thing was, I understood very, very quickly that doing a webtoon format was going to be something that I would need to focus on. So Dave and I had actually started this as just your standard, you know, comic pitch or whatever, and we had it set aside in page format. And then once we started getting into adapting that idea to a vertical format, you know, you enter in the whole thing, you enter it in with like, at some point we're going to print this thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I got about two episodes in with that mindset. And by episode two, I was like, fuck it. No, this is bullshit. We should devote ourselves to the format first and then worry about all the other shit later. Because first and foremost, people are going to be viewing this in a way that they're not used to, you know, reading comics if they're more of the traditional bent. And we want to make it as dynamic and as beautiful as possible. So writing for a webtoon format became the main thing. And, you know, Dave and I sat down and I was like, we need to forget the whole idea of doing this thing in print. We'll figure that out later. If it comes about, that's great. If not, we've got a killer vertical comic that we're going to make. And so far, like once we threw out the notion of print involving it with Metaphorical, once we took that out of the equation, we were able to come out with visuals that challenges. It literally challenges the reader to, you know, experience something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And you find tools that you didn't know were in comics, and, you know, maybe you can use those to jump back over when you do page by page. But for now, I really love the dynamic, you know, presentation that comes with vertical.
But yeah, because as opposed to dragging eyes from left to right, you're dragging from top to bottom.
Right.
So it's like, it's a totally different mindset. And I think it's good that you kind of got out of the idea, because if you're going to dedicate yourself to the format, you might as well completely dedicate yourself to the format. And it lends yourself for one day, perhaps, printing on a scroll, and you can have scrolls of comics that they have to
unwrap. I had that idea. I still wanted to do that. I actually had that idea. I was like, what if we did a scroll? Because I did a
This is why I love you. This is why
James Maddox, comics wizard. I have a scroll idea.
Well, I did a short story for their horror anthology last year after New York City Comic Con that came out, and when I was going to Emerald City, I was like, I really want to show this to people. How cool would it be if I just had a scroll and people would come by the table and I'd just be like, unfurl. You know?
And sorry, that's my Dispel Magic scroll. I apologize.
Let me scroll that back.
Bling, that's the Eye of Agamotto.
I looked into what it would take to print this thing out, and it was like, for a 4-inch wide comic, it would have been 67 feet long. So I was like, maybe not.
You know what? That's the Kickstarter you got to run there, brother. Yeah, it's for the 67 foot comic.
Comic scroll.
And I just love the idea of someone asking, so how long's your book? Oh, 67 feet long. Like, what the fuck?
It depends on the width, really. I mean,
that's awesome. So let's focus back on Dead Legends, because that's what's going on right now. That Kickstarter is live as we speak. Now, tell me, James Maddox, tell the Word Bro audience, what is this book about? Like, give me the pitch, dude. Give me the hard pitch. Here it is. Let me hear it. Bang. Dead Legends is go.
All the charisma now.
Oh my God. Okay, so at the beginning of the book, there's a fight scene that ends up in a death, and one of the combatants' wives. Oh, that's horrible. Hold on, I can do better.
All right, you know what? I can maybe edit that too if need be.
All the charisma now, take two.
See, this is why I'm really bad at selling books to publishers, because I'm just like, it's good. It's me. You know, I write a good story. So
well, I mean, but it also fits. Pitching is very difficult.
Pitching is hard. It's hard.
It's the most difficult aspect of comics. Like, sitting down and banging out 30 pages is easy. Like, getting your story formatted in a one-page document and praying some fucking intern somewhere at some gigantuan fucking publishing company reads it, that's a whole other ball game.
Before Kickstarter, when we tried to pitch Metal Shark Bro, imagine what their face was like. So you guys want to make a comic about a shark man who made a deal with Satan and has a talking eyeball.
That's great. I would green light that in a heartbeat.
But I mean, I imagine the faces were like, I'm not sure I understand what this is.
We got some good feedback, but let's find out about.
I want to find out about James' stuff.
We're also doing a good job stalling, so James can think. Let his brain start cooking.
Oh, I'm not thinking at all. I'm always on the seat of my pants, man. But it's interesting. Like, I never, before all this started, obviously, I wasn't thinking about anything but writing, and then I was actually trying to sell things to people and get them, you know, like, basically so that the creation wasn't coming out of my pocket. So I still haven't got, I still haven't got the whole art of the pitching thing down, but let's give it a shot.
Okay,
so in Dead Legends, we have a widow that's seeking revenge for the murder of her husband. She finds the person that did it, and she goes and discovers the only way that she can get to that killer is by going and catching him at a tournament. But before she gets to the killing blow right from the gate, she stopped. And she realizes that she's going to have to go through all the tears and fight all these really badass combatants to get to her final goal. On top of that, you have a champion who cannot lose and, in fact, is so tired of winning that he's drinking himself into an early grave, but every time he gets into the ring, it clicks back on and, you know, he just wins. So he's got an interesting scheme to kind of knock himself off of his seat.
Interesting.
We've got assassins that come in that are second guessing their contract because they get drawn into the drama that's going on with the other contestants. It's literally just straight up, if you can think of some cool things that you saw in 70s or 80s kung fu martial arts movies, we've tried to create a love story to that genre.
You've got a little bit Game of Death, you got a little bit Lionheart, you got a little bit Drunken Master. Like that's the fun of doing like kind of genre fiction, because you can just freely kind of pick and choose your influences and your, because I mean, to be fair, like I love kung fu movies. I'm sure you do as well. Gavin sounds like he's into it. So is Kevin. They've done everything. Like there's no stone left unturned. So you might as well just kind of start making like a Voltron kind of story here and just put something together and see what happens, you know?
Yeah. And that's really the mindset that, I mean, when Gavin and I, before we put down word one of the script, Gavin shows up at my house before Heroes Con with Enter the Dragon and Bloodsport. And we stay up all night and watch those movies. And then he's like, this is what I want. And I'm like, all right, man, let's figure it out. So
see, it's cool because Kevin and I have a Kung Fu book that we're working on, but ours is kind of like in the more Run Shaw version of Kung Fu. Like, mm-hmm. So it takes place in the distant, like in the long ago past, you know what I'm saying?
Like, a fantasy
setting Kung Fu, as opposed to like a gritty 70s kind of street style.
Well, so that's kind of the main thrust of what we were doing. We wanted to take all those fight scenes and those moments that you cringed at a hit. We wanted to put that in comics form.
That's awesome.
So, you know, Gavin has done some really brutal shit so far. I can't wait to see what he does, because now that I know that he's going to carry the fight scenes and basically like run choreography on those, I've just written fight scene and you know, he's going to run wild.
Now when you write, because this Kevin and I have actually talked about this before on the podcast. Now when you give such loose direction with a fight scene, like do you have a specific ending in mind that's how you want to end it, and that's the only part of the fight scene you write, or do you just let him have at it?
Well, my thing is I definitely want to end on a dramatic hit for the final of the fight scene. So I'll put in that hit, but from the opening of the, you know, the squaring off to that hit is really just whatever Gavin thinks works best. So it is freedom. There are plot points that I, like if somebody's in the background making a handoff or something like that, I put that into that, you know, page, and I say, hey, we need this to happen somewhere during the fight scene. And as long as that gets in, so far it's worked out great.
No, see, that's what we actually pretty similar to the answer that we gave on that. So that's interesting that your approach to that is the same way that we felt was the best approach to it, because trying to like choreograph a fight scene is probably really hard when you're writing. And I've heard and I've listened to enough comic podcasts to know that some writers do that. And I'm just like, wow, that just seems like crazy amounts of like trying to figure out how to write that down in a format wherein you could just let the artist be like, this feels more natural. And I think that the way that you're talking about doing it actually helps promote that natural feel to a fight.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And the thing with, again, I'm going to keep talking up Gavin, but Gavin loves wrestling. He loves all that stuff. So he's aware of the different moves. Like he's tossing in certain styles of fighting, certain moves that you would see in the movies or on the screen, you know, on the TV, that I don't necessarily have knowledge of. I think of a really fun hit that I believe would make an impact on a reader and kind of throw it out there. Whereas Gavin knows why it makes that impact and why it looks so good visually. So he's taking the reins on that. I mean, half the characters of Dead Legends are modeled loosely after wrestlers.
One of them looks like Kenny Omega. Like that's,
Yeah,
the guy with the leather jacket is very Kenny Omega-like. And I was like, huh. And then when I found out that Gavin was super into wrestling, it made sense. Now, it's funny that you talk about fight scenes, Kevin, because sometimes I even feel like almost heavy-handed when I'm just doing like back and forth dialogue when I'm doing panel descriptions, because the artist knows what looks better visually than me trying to explain, like, so-and-so is standing there with a stern look on his face as Steve watches on intently. Like sometimes I even feel heavy-handed in that aspect. Like, how do you balance that out for yourself, James? And is it different working with Gavin because you guys seem to have like a natural kind of rapport?
No, everything outside of the fight scenes, I'm still writing full scripted, like very, you know, detailed work. My scripts tend to be very detailed in terms of both narration in terms of like me describing the scene. And then I give a lot of, you know, links to reference that has inspired me, that kind of stuff. And if I can't find the right pose or the pose that I've actually conjured up in my head in a Google image search or something like that, I'll go ahead and, you know, take a picture of myself and send it along and be like, this is more what I had in mind.
So you also do like the fucking pantomime acting at your computer screen when you're like, how this character looks like this.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Because I find myself doing it as well, you know.
Yeah, and it's all in service of getting the job done. You know, like I want to make sure that what I have in my storyteller brain is getting through to the collaborator, so that they have, you know, the goods to work with, and then they get to do their interpretation of that, and whatever comes out the other side is us kind of smushed together.
That's awesome.
And that's the best thing about comics is you get not just one person's perspective of the thing, you get multiple people's perspective, or at least two, you know? Mm-hmm. So unless you're one of those artist writer people, which, you know, fuck them, whatever.
Tell us how you really feel.
I love all of them. I'm just super, super jealous. But yeah, so like coming up with, when I write a script, I come up with the ideas that make me excited about whatever it is I'm writing about. And then, you know, you just put it out there as best as you can, as succinctly as you can, as defined as you can. And then you've done your job. And then you go back and revise, you know, and you talk to your friend that you're working with and hopefully come out with a really good product.
All right. Well, the Kickstarter for Dead Legends is going on now. Check that out. Go to Kickstarter. We'll post the links of it as well. And then your line webtoon should be out hopefully soon. Let us know when that happens and we can promote that for you as well, James. Absolutely. And I mean this in all honesty, and I'm sure I'm speaking for Kevin, even though sometimes I hate doing it. Like, I am very glad that you are alive because you are one of the good dudes in this business. You're a good friend, and I appreciate you. So
thank you. We love you, James Maddox.
Thank goodness.
Go support James's Kickstarter. Make sure you get lots of stuff on that Kickstarter because he almost died. Since he won't do it, I'll do it for him.
True. He did. James Maddox, everybody.
Good night.
And that was James Maddox.
That was James Maddox. He's still alive. So that's really awesome.
He's great. I like James Maddox a lot. I love James Maddox.
Yeah, so do I. And I'm really happy that he's still alive and he's out there making his books and doing his thing. And his Kickstarter is live now. And you can get in on that. And it sounds super fun. I mean, I fucking love Kung Fu movies. I've already backed it.
I have backed it as well.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Backed it within the first day, I believe.
Oh, you got in on that early bird?
I think I did. I'm not sure.
They've got some fun rewards that I even forgot to ask him about. Like, you can have James and Gavin, like they'll punch your book for
kick
you.
Kick your and, book, yeah. And that's one of them. And there's a writer sketch reward where James will sketch you his bad writer drawings for the book, or you can get an actual artist sketch version. So they have a lot of really cool little neat things going on that they're doing with that.
Yeah, I love the idea of them just punching the book. I think that's hilarious. Like when Gavin told me about that at Cincy Comic Expo, I was like, that's the best and dumbest thing I've ever heard before in my whole life. Like, I was just so happy about that. So, yeah, man. So their Kickstarter is live now. It'll be going on for a few more days. Get involved in that one. That's going to be a really great book. They've got a really great team. So hop to it, boys and girls. Get it done.
That is a Kickstarter you don't want to miss.
Yeah, man. And the Word Bros will be back next week. I believe we have a guest.
Next week we have no guest. The following week we have a guest.
Okay, yeah, because NYCC is
NYCC, and no one wants to come on and talk to us when they can be at NYCC, and fine. I can't blame them.
Yeah, New York's a great town, I believe.
It is.
I've heard things.
You've been there.
I have.
Yeah, me too.
So all right. So yeah, man. So thank you to James Maddox for coming on. We appreciate it, and we will be back next week.
Thanks for listening to the Word Bros.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.